We're in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. All right. Lots of baseball to get to, which we'll just mention Shohei Ohtani, first player in MLB history to be in, now his own, 50-50 clubs. That's 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases.
Yeah, one of the great performances of all time last night as well. I'm going to talk about some of the deep stats in life of Squid, but absolutely phenomenal. And that home run ball thing, I had a couple people hit me up and be like, hey, look, he absolutely should have to pay for the ball if he wants it. I understand when it's, you know, when it's a first home run of a guy's ever hit and it's a rookie or something, he's never hit, you know, it's his first home run or something, and these guys aren't making this ton of money, I think it's the nice thing to do to give it back, right? Maybe right. Get some signed stuff. When it's a guy who's made $700 million off one contract, and I know some of that's deferred, and he's already made millions before that, no, he can pay for it.
Yeah, I want him to have the ball, but I also look at the fan who is sitting there going, dude, this could be life-changing. Money's going to buy me a house. And I understand that point of view as well. So hopefully they can come to an agreement at some point. It doesn't sound to me like he's like, no, I'm keeping it. He just was like, I want to go get it properly valued from everything I've read. So hopefully he can do that.
Yeah. And now to your Braves, who the offense just erupted against the Reds. 15-3, the final score, as Chris Sale got his 18th win. That's an MLB-leading 18th win on the season.
Yeah, he's been going for the triple crown. The ERA lead, the wins lead, and the strikeout lead. I'm not going to lie, I don't know exactly where he stands there, but I think he leads the NL. I'm not sure if he still leads the Major League Baseball. And all three of those stats that he did lead a couple weeks ago, he has had a phenomenal season. There's no way, shape, or form Chris Sale is not the Cy Young winner for the National League.
It's already, as far as Vegas goes, it's already been decided. If you look at the Vegas odds, I think he's like minus 2,500 in most books.
Wow.
And the next guy is plus 900, which is Zach Wheeler. So it's as far as Vegas goes, the Cy Young is already headed to Atlanta. So it's good news.
You know what else is good news? You guys trying your best shot at making some picks. Going into this weekend.
I don't think it was good news for the bettors last week
that
took my advice.
You guys can try to, you'll have to man up on Monday after the weekend, which brings me to this. Picks through 3 weeks. So the record for each of you, Mike.
We don't need to read this.
Is 4-7. He went 1-3 last week.
ATS, by the way.
Bo is 3-8. He went 0-4
against the spread.
He texts us. Man, he texts us last week. He goes, man, this is going to be rough.
So, all right, we have Ravens at Cowboys. The line at Baltimore -1, and the Cowboys. Well,
you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. Here's where I sit on this. I think that
the over/under. Excuse me.
Everything in me wants me to take Dallas coming off the embarrassment that they had a week ago and say that they rebound and the defense is too good to look like that. But on the flip side, I don't think there's any way that Baltimore starts this season 0-3. I cannot fathom for the life of me that Baltimore will come out and start 0-3. Just from a simple standpoint of what that might look like in the standings, I have to take Baltimore, and also the fact that they are favored in Dallas. I'm just going to lean on Baltimore. I think Lamar Jackson makes some plays in this one.
Dallas gave up a ton of points last week. The Ravens have a very good offense. And you look at Dallas, I think Dallas has a good offense as well. I'm just going to go and take the coward's way out. I'm picking the over. The 47.5, I'm taking
say,
the over.
Whoa. We're allowed to do that?
Yeah, I thought
No.
You pick overs and unders every week.
My locks of the week. I didn't know. Yeah.
Why would the over be on there if I can't pick it?
Unbelievable.
Let's get some clarification because I do not want to go against the rules. Dylan, what is the ruling?
It's legal.
It's legal.
Right. I like that because I'm going to definitely do
that. The over is -1. The under is 47.5.
Yeah, it's all the way legal. You can either do the against the spread or you can choose the over-under.
Yeah, spread -1 over and under 47.5.
Exactly.
I'm going over. I think both these. I think this is going to be a higher scoring game. I'm looking at 27-24, something like that.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's do a little college football now. So you have number 6, Tennessee at number 15, Oklahoma. The line, Tennessee -6.5. The over is -6.5. The under is 56.
It's okay, Tiffany. I don't think you really you're not a wagerer, and
I'm
that's
not
okay.
A wagerer,
let me redo that.
I'm trying.
The line is Tennessee. The line is Tennessee minus 6.5. The over under is 56.5.
That's what I meant.
We all understood what you were trying to say. Look, I'll be honest. I'm gonna take Tennessee minus the points in this, but after the last ruling, I'm tempted to kind of look at the under in this game because I do think it's going to be more defensive than a lot of people think it will be. But I'm still going to lean Tennessee minus the points. Tennessee minus 7 against Oklahoma. I think they're too talented. They're playing with a physicality up front on both sides of the ball that we haven't seen from Tennessee in quite a long time, to be honest with you. And with Nico Iamaliava going out there, I know it's going to be probably a rough first half, but I think they pull away in the end.
This one's tough for me because everything in my heart and mind says take Tennessee in the points because I think they're going to roll. But then I talk to Rusty, who I respect a lot, and he's like, hey, Josh Heupel needs to prove himself on the road as the coach. And I'm like,
so does Nico.
And I'm like, oh, that's a good point. That's a really good point. And I'm just so confused on it again. And I go, well, I think I'll take Oklahoma because it's in Norman. That's a tough place.
I says to myself, self, what am I going to do here?
But you know what? I hate Tennessee, but I hate being wrong worse. I'm taking Tennessee in the 6.5.
All right. Look,
I'm with you on that one.
Me reading the line is kind of like when I ask what kind of meat is on a Philly cheesesteak.
You're doing great.
Yeah, it's very much. Well,
normally in the off season, I'm like, oh, what can I take up?
Yeah.
But in the off season, instead of learning a new language, I'm going to take up gambling.
Well, we're going to
I'm going to work on.
We're going to teach you. Listen to how I do.
We're the two you want to listen to.
Just how to talk. We don't know how to pick, but we can talk. We have our locks of the week.
The sharpshooters over here are going to teach you.
Yeah, give me the locks. I'll start
with my college pick, Mike, and then you can go with yours. My college pick, Vandy at Missouri.
Okay.
It's only a 20-point spread.
I like what you're doing there.
I think Missouri is one of the better teams in the SEC, and I think Vanderbilt is a team that came to Atlanta.
He says that every time.
Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and they lost. You know what? You lose to Georgia State. I ain't going to pronounce your name right. And they lost to Georgia State.
They did. Don't
give me Mizzou. And the 20, they cover home.
I'm just going to tell you, I said this about the Vikings game last weekend. You're just falling into a trap right now. You're John Q. Public saying, hey, Vandy just lost to Georgia State. I got news for you. They ain't that bad. Georgia State is pretty good.
Mizzou is really good.
I'm like so tempted to just pick against you just for the sake of it. Here's what I'm going to do, though. I'm actually going to put one in your column. How about this line? And you tell me what you're seeing on your page. Florida at Mississippi State.
Don't touch this game.
I'm just telling you right now.
If you care about your mental health, you will not touch this game.
Florida,
you care about mine.
Florida's backs are against the wall, and Mississippi State is terrible. They are terrible.
So what are you so?
Well, I actually think this is one of the rare instances, guys, in college football where it benefits a bad team to go on the road. I think they are so sick of being booed on their home field and everything else that comes along with that, that it is actually going to be good for Florida to get away from the noise and everything else going on down in Gainesville, to go on the road with the us versus the world mentality and play a bad football team in Mississippi State. Florida, minus the 6 or 6.5, whatever you have it as, I'll take
it. That's an 11 a.m. start in Starkville. Florida is the worst coach defense I've ever seen them have.
But aside from Mississippi State, who got routed by Toledo last week.
I think Toledo could score 41 on Florida's defense right now.
So.
All right, my NFL lock of the week. Chargers at Steelers. The over-under is 35.5.
Please tell me you're going under.
35.5. You know what the score in last week's game between Pittsburgh and Denver was? 13-6.
Yeah.
You know what the Chargers score was? 26-3. Give me the under all freaking day.
Not a boy.
You can take that to the bookie and tell them the Squidbilly sent you.
I love that play as well. I am on the same wavelength as you, but I went completely opposite. All right, because I think that when you look at Eagles and Saints, right, they've been the teams that obviously the offenses are really clicking. That over-under right now is 49.5, Eagles and Saints. Here's what I have to say to you. Take the over. take the over of the 49.5. It's an astronomical number. It's almost 50. There's a reason. There's a reason right now when you look at the things. Jalen Hurts has had success against New Orleans. That New Orleans offensive line's playing at a high level. I love the over in this one. I think it's going to be like 28-24.
You know what I'm so excited about? I'm excited about this being a bye weekend for me because that means I will be here on Monday when we play back the sound of how optimistic at sometimes you guys sounded about
boisterous.
Your selections. How boisterous is an excellent word. That is a big word.
One
for
word
you,
Friday.
Morgan.
One word Friday.
And so I just can't wait for these cuts to be played
right.
back, paired with a loss.
It's
know,
happening.
On Man
no
Up
doubt.
Monday. So
it's called gambling, not winning.
If I lose this week, it'll be the fact that I lost the same game that Mike lost, which will be the Tennessee pick.
You sounded real confident. I'm looking forward to
3-1
very much, as I'm sure a lot of you are too. And also, you'll be looking forward to Monday. Hopefully coming off of a Falcons win on Sunday Night Football. What can we expect from that matchup? Dave Archer, the former Falcons QB and analyst for the Falcons Radio Network, joins the show on the other side. We'll be right back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I heard Dave Archer requested this theme music as we go to the
WadeFord.com big yacht rock guy
hotline to speak with the former Atlanta Falcons quarterback and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network joining us on the show. Dave, we get you twice in 1 week.
Yeah, looking forward to talking to you guys again. This is a big one this weekend.
Am I the only one that calls you Dave?
Yeah, I call him Arch.
Arch.
Yeah. Or other things that I can't say on the air.
Not surprising coming from you.
Arch, I woke up this morning and I text Mike and I said, hey, let's watch some tape on Chris Jones because I want to see, you know, kind of what he's been, you know, what he's doing and how where he's lining up because I've heard people kind of talk about him and TJ Watt. They're different players completely. But, you know, watching the film from the Cincinnati game, he lined up everywhere. How do you account for a guy like Chris Jones? Because it seems like everybody on that offensive line has to be ready to go against him at some point during the game.
Yeah, I think this will be similar, Bo, to what Atlanta did a couple years ago. Now, I know it's a different coaching staff, but what you did with Aaron Donald, because Aaron Donald's a similar player. Now, Chris Jones, bigger player, a bigger-bodied player, but very similar in his ability to line up all over the place. I mean, you're not going to see him more than likely lined up over the center, but Mike can tell you he's going to line up in that customary three technique between the guard and the tackle, and then they're going to put him out wide and try to get him isolated one-on-one with one of your tackles. So the only thing you can do is make sure that you've got things dedicated to him. I remember against the Aaron Donald scenario, they had the backs dialed in to where they were going to chip inside if he was inside, if he ended up getting isolated one-on-one. If he was on the outside, then that's a done deal. It's an easy not an easy deal, but it's something that you normally would do from a chip edge rush type scenario. But they did make an effort to account for Arnold inside and make sure there were two hats on him all the time as best they could. Now, Spags is a very outstanding defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, and he's going to find a way to get Chris Jones isolated if he can, and that'll be bringing, whether it's Leo Chanel or Bolden or whoever it is, the linebackers to try to get him isolated. Drew Kank will come some in their blitz packages. So they've got stuff to get him isolated, and at some point you're just going to have to swell up and get the guy blocked.
Well, in terms of how you do that, Arch, I think it's going to be one of my main focuses to see how much, you know, under they're running play action. You and I kind of joked about it a week ago, talking about pistol and shotgun and everything else and the footwork. But I think there is something to it when it comes to actual protection of being able to get under and run the play action and get those defensive linemen going side to side off the snap. Arch, here's what I had before the two-minute drill. I had the Falcons going under center 28 times, run left 10, run right 9, and 9 play action passes. So it was nice to kind of see that. What do you think the game plan is as far as the offense goes when you face the Kansas City Chiefs? And obviously you just want to sustain drives, but is there anybody you want to see offensively get a little bit more involved that hasn't been so far this season?
Well, certainly, and I think this would probably be what you would say too, is Kyle Pitts has got to be more of a factor for them. I think that you're seeing Darnell Mooney rise up. I think we've seen what Ray McCloud can do and contribute. We got Drake London going some last week. You're seeing the two backs catch the ball out of the backfield, but Kyle Pitts has been maybe the lost guy in this thing. I know he caught a touchdown in week one, but really has been limited and what he's contributed so far. I think he's just got 6 catches on the year. I think 46 yards or 47 yards or something like that. So not a lot of production from the tight end spot. And you wonder if that's the kind of matchup you can take advantage of this weekend. I think Justin Reed's a good safety. Connor's the nickelback. He might draw him some. But I think this is an area where he's too much of a mismatch for the linebackers. I don't think Chanel or Tranquil or anybody can run with him. So I think maybe that guy, that's the guy that you look for as an X factor that can step forward and be a part of this offense that really hasn't been a part of it yet.
Hey, Arch, what you just said about Kyle Pitts, I want to flip that and apply it to the Chiefs and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, because surely the Chiefs are hoping that he gets going. Kelce has just 4 catches for 39 yards this season. Obviously, you don't want them to get going in this game, but do you think this duo actually goes 3 weeks into the season performing the way that they have?
No, I think that certainly they've got tremendous chemistry, Tiff. There's no question about that. I mean, the numbers would indicate that, and so you got to figure at some point he's going to get going. But again, anybody that plays the Chiefs knows that that's the safety blanket for the quarterback, and so they're going to make sure they try to find him and get him covered as best they can, which has freed up Rashid Rice, who's really coming on. He's becoming a big time player. I think Worthy has a chance to be a heck of a player as well. And so they've got other weapons. The big question for me is, what do they do in the run game? With Isaiah Pacheco going down with the injury to the leg, I mean, P. Ryan's been a guy that's been able to run the football, but, you know, he's been a kind of a mixed bag as to what he's contributed. And they signed Kareem Hunt, who comes back, who has been with Kansas City before, obviously had a Pro Bowl year way back in 2017 when he ran for over 1,000 yards. And they got the kid, the young kid, Carson Steele. Who do they lean on from a run game standpoint? But right now, their leading rusher going into this weekend is Patrick Mahomes. That's their leading rusher going in. And we know Mahomes is looking to buy time. Occasionally he'll take off and run for a first down, but I think he's got 32 yards rushing. And they're going to need to be able to run the football. They're not going to be able to just drop and throw it. This is an offensive line that I think is okay, Mike. I mean, they're nowhere near as good as the offensive line we saw last week. Kingsley Suamataia, the young kid out of BYU, got benched at the end of the year. Wanya Morris came in. I don't know that he's any better. He's a second-year kid out of Oklahoma. So they've got some problems up front. And if they can't run the football, then they're going to have some problems with handling Atlanta's pass rush.
Well, actually, that led me right to where I wanted to talk to you about, Arch, is the pass rush and how you get pressure on a guy like Patrick Mahomes. Because, you know, we were watching some stuff where Andy Reid does a good job of, like, sliding the pocket, and his feet seem to be constantly moving at times, Mahomes, and he'll run just enough to keep you honest. How do you get pressure on him and try to keep him contained where he can't get out outside of that pocket too much, and then create those big plays that we've seen him famous for?
Well, I mean, it's like you do with any quarterback that can move around, Bo. But this guy isn't looking to run; he's looking to buy time in the pocket, and he doesn't necessarily have to be kicked out of the pocket. He moves in the pocket as good as any guy you'll see. His off platform stuff is probably the stuff he's famous for, but if you let him throw on time, he's pretty good too. So I think that you're just trying to corral the guys around him. I mean, he does what he does, and I think you've got to live with some of that, but you've got to stay as disciplined as you can. I don't know that he's one of these kind of guys that you feel like, okay, if he gets outside the pocket, he's going to outrun everybody like he had with Justin Fields. I think you can be a little bit more relentless and maybe a little bit more erratic with your pass rush to get after him. Now, if it pops him out of the pocket, it cuts the field in half. Now you're going to have to plaster coverage in the back end. I mean, all the problems that everybody deals with each and every week with him buying time is something Atlanta's going to have to deal with. But I think you blitz this defense offensive line and you create those situations where he is uncomfortable and he has to move. He's thrown 3 interceptions already this year. He threw 14 interceptions last year, which those numbers are pretty high for Patrick if you look at his career. And so he's willing to put the ball in harm's way. So you got to be on coverage because he's going to try to make throws.
Yeah, I want to give you credit too, Arch, for the Wanya Morris reference. That's the pride of Grayson High School. Just he was a Jesse over there coming out not too long ago. I do want to focus on him too because you mentioned the Chiefs pass rush or pass protection situation with Juwan Taylor and whoever's going to play left tackle. It's not as good as it has been in the past, and that's why you draft a guy to be able to play left tackle. But on the flip side, so much was made of bringing Matthew Judon in, it's been interesting the way they've utilized him. You saw him, you know, be able to get in the backfield a couple times from almost like a four technique last week. What have you made of the pass rush so far this year, and what do you want to see going into this weekend?
I think it's been hard, Mike, to kind of gauge it because of the two guys you've had to face so far. You know, Justin Fields, you had to really be disciplined to try to not let him get out of the pocket. And I thought even last week it was even more of a concerted effort to try to make sure that Jalen Hurts didn't break you down. Now, he had the one run that got him down into the side of the red zone. But I thought for the most part, other than the design quarterback run, which he was successful with, the impromptu type stuff and letting him get out of pocket and buy time and make plays, I thought Atlanta did a really good job with that. So that's a concerted effort to do that. So that slows the pass rush down. I really think this week, even though Patrick's known for his ability to create and do some of the impromptu stuff, he's not the run threat that we saw the last two weekends. And so I think there's going to be a little bit more recklessness, if you will, if that's the right word, to get after him. Maybe Judon doesn't have to be quite as disciplined in his pass rush or anybody else, and maybe they can come with some pressures. Now, obviously, this is a guy that's seen virtually everything from a pass standpoint. So as much as you may be able to get after him with the pass rush because he's not quite as dynamic a runner, now you expose yourself on the back end because this guy is a much better passer than the last two guys we've seen this weekend. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't a little bit with the quarterbacks the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, definitely.
Arch, looking forward to this one. I appreciate the insight as always.
Good talking to y'all. Y'all take care.
That was Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcons radio network analyst and former QB for the team. You can follow him on X at ArcherQB16. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We got a life of squid.
Yeah, one NFL player doesn't think the Saints are for real and was last night Shohei Ohtani performance the greatest single-game performance in MLB history. I'll tell you why. Next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
That is right.
It is Friday. And this is the morning shift. What is that look of disgust on your face?
Shout out to Val Roberts on Twitter. Was responding to my comment about the salted peanuts and Pepsi or Coke or whatever. He says my mom, God rest her soul, she used to drink Miller and milk. Miller and milk. Yeah, that's why that look was.
Miller Lite?
Yeah, Miller and milk.
Is so that worse than Dylan saying that he ate his boogers or what?
That is
Miller and milk, man. Come on. I tried the pickle and peanut butter craze a few years back. Not bad.
A lot of people have been saying that is very good.
It goes along the same lines, Tiff, as the whole French fries and milkshake.
Except that Frosty. One is salty, one's sweet. But with the peanut butter, unless you're my peanut butter doesn't have a lot of sugar. It's just straight up peanut butter. So if you have a sweeter peanut butter, then I guess I could see it, but
I feel judged. I feel attacked.
No, I'm just, if you buy regular old peanut butter, good for you. Yeah. I just like
I don't eat much peanut butter, but yeah, I think it's just pretty normal. Yeah.
But there's different kinds of peanut butter.
So you strike me as an almond butter person.
No.
No? Sun butter?
No. Just straight up peanuts.
Fair enough.
But I'm not saying I eat candy, so I'm no better than anybody else. Okay. Just because I'd rather get my added sugars from straight up sweets.
I'm completely the opposite of that, but I feel you. I don't need to waste my time with sweets, but give me all the barbecue sauce. You know what I mean?
But what are you? You're in deep thought over there. Are you researching? Are you having a Twitter war right now?
No. No Twitter war. I'm still dumbfounded by our executive producer. So I don't know what to. With his chocolate milk and no.
Don't knock it till you try it.
You need to take some space.
I've already gotten
text space
about,
from you.
About that, how disgusting that is.
Yeah, that's as bad as my buddy's stepdad when we were growing up would hit. He would load up a hot dog with relish, sauerkraut, ketchup, a mustard, and then drink a glass of milk with it. That was most of this.
Just dairy in general just needs to stay away from most things. It needs to stay in its own lane.
It needs to stay in cereal, and you can do cornbread. I don't mind putting some cornbread in some milk and eating that, but it does not need to be around hot dogs or sour gummy worms or whatever you did. Anyways, What do you guys do? Real quick, before we get to Life of Squid, because I got some stuff. What are you guys doing this weekend?
Absolutely nothing.
Wow, well, good for you.
Well, I may see a friend's I may see a friend's new baby today. So that'll be later. Gonna visit my folks. Saturday, the plan is to not do anything. I may get lured out to a birthday party Saturday night. And then Sunday, we're shutting it down. I'm just watching football all day.
Can you send us a picture of Aunt Tiff holding the baby? Just want to see.
Kids love. Okay. Look, this child will be so, like, all, what, 1 month or 2 months of him. Will be so excited. He was born while I was in France.
Okay.
So he'll be excited to see me.
All right. Yeah. I'm actually taking my son to Monster Trucks tomorrow night, man, at Dixie Speedway up in Woodstock. We're going to go check that out. I don't know how long it'll last. It may be 10 minutes, maybe 2 hours.
Does he have headphones?
He has head protection, ear protection, all that stuff. So we're going to see. I got a babysitter to hang out with my daughter so that me and my wife can go spend some time with my son. I think he's going to love
space.
It.
Yeah. She can take some space from you.
Yeah, she needs a little space. They also have the waterless boat race that'll be tomorrow night as well. So I think he's going to be like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
A waterless boat race?
It's basically a car race, but they're all pulling boats behind them without a trailer, just boats. Just straight. It's like, yeah, it's just strange. But it's just fun. It's just fun to watch.
I'll be able to hear.
Derby, yeah.
I can normally hear all the action from my house. Well, I'm playing 18 holes with Mark Zeno today, so pray for me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Pray for me. And then I'll be probably recovering the rest of the weekend because of the emotional stress that'll put on me. And so I'll watch college football.
Falcons rise up.
Yeah.
Falcons rise up.
Yeah. That's right. And don't forget, hopefully we'll have my friends at the WSOS out at the second annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic November 25th at Eagle Watch. Go to the 92.9 The Game website. I always want to say Facebook for some reason. Website. Click on the events tab, and you will be able to see all the information and a link to sign up. It is for charities, for our friends, Pets for Vets. So it's for a great cause, guys. This really helps out our veterans. So playing it, and you might get to hang out with Squid for a few minutes. You never know.
Unfortunately,
you'll have to see Mike Johnson. Yesterday, Shohei Ohtani broke records. He did something that has never been done, 50-50 club. However, he did more than that. Since the RBI became official in 1920, only one MLB player has had, over the course of his entire career, same game or not, a game with 10-plus RBIs, a game with 6-plus hits, 5 of them extra base hits, 3-plus homers, and 2 stolen bases. That's a career stat. That's not a single game stat. That one player is Shohei Ohtani, and he did all of it. Yesterday,
it's crazy, man.
All of that was done in one game, and it's never been done before. He's the only person to ever do that. That's how crazy ridiculous what he did yesterday was. The 50-50 thing is literally an afterthought.
They call it the inaugural 50-50 thing. I just think that it makes me laugh, but it's also just cool.
To your point, the call last night, they said, he starts the 50-50 club. I was like, that is cool to think of.
I think that one day Ronald Acuna Jr. can be in that club. I do. I think he's that good. If he can stay healthy, he can get healthy. I think he could join that club. I thought he had a chance to join it last year. All right. Amon-Ra St. Brown plays for the Detroit Lions. We all know that, right?
Yes.
His brother plays for the New Orleans Saints. They do a podcast together. It's Equanimeous St. Brown. I think I pronounced his name right.
Equanimeous.
Okay, well, I tried. I really did. They do their podcast. They're like the Kelseys. And Amon kind of crapped on the Saints' quick, hot start, especially the Cowboys game.
Going back to you real quick, EQ. The Saints?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not retracting any statements that I had earlier.
Oh, you're not?
It just must be a bad game for the Cowboys. I feel like the Cowboys have those games. They have a great game, great game. Then you just have a bad game. So you probably just caught them on one of their bad games.
Are you done?
But you guys, like...
Are you done?
You guys still don't move me.
Ooh.
I mean... He told his brother, you guys
don't move me. He didn't say, I'm not sure if y'all are that good. He said, y'all don't move me.
You don't move me. I'm gonna
use that today.
How, like... Tiff, I could only... just fathom how you would react if your sister said that to you.
No, remember I told you I almost died, and then I called, and she said, I called and I said, I don't have a will, and she said, blank, you don't have nice things. She didn't skip a beat.
So
she
is
did
that
not skip a beat?
Is it stung you?
So, that was man, like
so my, stung you. What you're saying is this, the St. Brown brothers.
It's beautiful.
What is very similar to the Blackman sisters.
Yes. She's currently not speaking to me right now.
Are you serious?
Yeah. She's gonna. So if your friends are listening out there,
what'd you do?
I'll tell you guys in the break.
Oh no.
Okay.
Oh boy.
All are right. you at fault? Do you admit fault in this situation?
I will take 75% of the blame.
All right, which means it's probably 99%, but we'll see.
Oh, she's going to be even more mad at me if I talk about this on air. All right, we got to find out what's going on in the steakhouse. Stay with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.